And welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Today's program is all about helping others. I speak with Lizbeth Echandia of Hannah's Horseshoes of Hope, a therapeutic riding center in Fannin County. She'll explain how easy it is and rewarding it feels to get involved with their organization. For today's Friday feature, Cindy Roller tells us about a local group of individuals who distribute food to the hungry at the appropriately named Hope House. Those stories are coming up after we check out the week's headlines. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
We all find value in public radio, and research shows that 85% of public radio listeners are more likely to take advantage of a business or service they've heard about on public radio. You listen to KETR, so invite your fellow listeners to become your customers. Call 903-513-9684 for more information.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep from NPR News. I'm thinking of that New Yorker cartoon where one person at a party turns to another person at the party and says, "And that's not just my opinion, it's the opinion of somebody on NPR." Next time you're at a cocktail party, you can be ready for some scintillating conversation if you keep up with the news by listening in the mornings to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekdays at 5 a.m. on listener-supported 88.9 KETR.
And welcome back to The Lead. It's now time to check out the headlines from this week. Dustin Cooper has been sentenced to 45 years in prison for murdering his girlfriend's grandfather at the Paris KFC in May. The 27-year-old Cooper of Center pleaded guilty to the charge. His insanity defense was not supported by court-appointed psychiatrists. A year-long investigation by Hunt County law enforcement has led to the arrest of Mickey Trent Reed Jr. Reed has been charged with six different criminal offenses, including manufacture and delivery of a controlled substance. He was found with more than 150 grams of meth at the time of his arrest. Closing arguments are scheduled Friday in the Hunt County capital murder trial of Tracy Daniel Alphen, charged in the 2008 death of Jason Harrington. Her alleged co-actor, David Earl Hickman, who had previously pleaded guilty to his role, testified against Alphen. The Wood County Sheriff's Department is asking the public's help to locate 55-year-old Marquita Gutierrez of Alba. Gutierrez hasn't been seen in more than a month, when she was reportedly said to have borrowed her mother's white Ford F-250 with Texas license plate AX47520. She has an extensive medical history. Guadalupe Ramirez III has been sentenced to a total of 75 years in prison in connection to his involvement in the 2008 robbery of a Quinlan area game room. Trial for his alleged co-actor, Darius DeMott Williams, is set for January. Across three more counties off the area burn ban list, Hunt, Lamar, and Delta County commissioners recently lifted their restrictions, leaving under 200 counties still enforcing the ban. No injuries were reported in a Mineola house fire that has displaced Precinct 2 Commissioner Jerry Gaskell and his family. Investigators are working to determine the cause of the blaze that ignited before noon Tuesday along County Road 2336. 39-year-old Christopher Lee Maxwell has been arrested and charged with two counts of aggravated sexual assault of a child and three counts of indecency with a child by contact. Maxwell of Clarksville was arrested following a brief chase in Paris. The offenses allegedly occurred in his hometown. Half Associates are preparing to renovate several Commerce City streets after receiving approval Tuesday for the more than $4.8 million plan. Work on Harlow Street could begin in summer of next year, with Monroe and Washington streets, as well as several campus border streets, receiving upgrades. Construction of the new Sulphur Springs Middle School is more than a month behind schedule and will likely delay move-in until the spring. Administrators had hoped to move in over Christmas break and operate classes out of the new building by next semester. Three Hunt County candidates have filed for office within the last week. Terry Jones will seek another term as constable for Precinct 1, while David Nunn plans to run for Precinct 3 commissioner. Raymond Hobson has recently announced his candidacy for 354th District Court Judge, and this week Steve Byrd announced he will run for Precinct 3 commissioner. 32-year-old Kobe Markham is in the early stages of his campaign for Commerce mayor. Filing for the position begins in February. Markham is a junior political science major and chairman of campus safety and security for the Student Government Association at A&M Commerce. And Delta County Commissioners have approved a resolution in support of funding right-of-way acquisition and utility adjustment costs for the expansion of State Highway 24. TxDOT recently announced the approval of the widening of a 10-mile section of the roadway. And that's a check of the news making headlines this week. You can find more information on each one of these stories at our website, ketr.org. Up next, I speak with Lisbeth Echandia of Hannah's Horseshoes of Hope, located in Dodge City. We'll speak with her next. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
When I grow up, I'll be a chef. Cause chefs get to cook yummy cheeseburgers, pizza, and chocolate everything.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a defect in the immune system that affects millions. Early detection can give children a chance to dream.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation. 25 years of helping children reach for their dreams. Visit us at info4pi.org or call 1-866-INFO-4-PI.
Coming up on Monday on Lions After Dark, we'll be taking a look at your weekend box office top hits.
We've also got the scoop on your weekly video game news and releases with Mikey's Power Play. And don't forget your usuals, a look at what's happening around campus and the community.
Join us on Monday from 9 to 11 p.m. for Lions After Dark on your station, 88.9 KETR or KETR.org.
Public radio listeners are heavy users of bank services, home mortgages, and financial management planning. Are these listeners your customers? They can be. Become a KETR program underwriter. For more information, call 903-513-9684.
I'm Jared Knight, General Manager at KETR. There's a lot more to me, though. In fact, there's a lot more to all the people that you hear each day on KETR. And there's a lot more people than you might think, too. You can now read all about us, see our pictures, or link up with us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Google Plus on our new profile pages when you click on Hosts at the top of the page on the new KETR.org.
Welcome back to The Lead here on your station, 88.9 KETR. And joining me now by phone is Lisbeth Echandia. She is the director of Hannah's Horseshoes of Hope, the Therapeutic Riding Center in Dodge City. And how are you today?
I'm great, thank you. How are you, Scott?
Great. Thank you so much for being with us. I wanted to first explain to our listeners, if you could, those that are unfamiliar with Hannah's, the mission of Hannah's.
First of all, let me explain a little bit about what we do. Hannah's Horseshoes of Hope is an equine-assisted therapy center, and we serve children and adults with physical, cognitive, and emotional disabilities through therapeutic riding. What's been discovered is that beyond the physical benefits, riders improve all kinds of things, self-esteem, focus, and independence, while they're interacting with our trained volunteers and expert instructors. So we deal with people with a variety of challenges and difficulties and work with people of all ages.
Your center there is a member of PATH, which is the Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship International, correct?
That is correct. And our therapists, our therapeutic riding instructors have all been trained through PATH and are all certified through PATH.
How many members are there of PATH? How many agencies are there such as yours?
I believe in the United States, I mean, I don't know the exact number, but there are certainly 100 or more. Mm-hmm. And there are a number in Texas. As well, I mean, there are a number in our area, McKinney, Ponder, Texarkana, and then we are the one that serves the North Texas and southeastern Oklahoma area.
Is there an age group?
No. Basically, the only, I would say, qualification that's needed is it has to be somebody that we have a horse that we'll work with.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, for us, it is sometimes a bit challenging if we have somebody with extreme disabilities who, say, weighs 250 pounds. That can be just a challenge because of the volunteer group we have. And generally, we do not take anybody younger than two, and that's just because of safety and bone structure and strength and those kinds of things.
Okay. What is it just about horseback riding that is therapeutic for these special needs individuals?
There are a lot of different reasons. One of the main things is that the movement of the horse is very similar to how a person walks. So what happens to somebody who sits on a horse, and we work a great deal with just saddle blankets and horse blankets rather than only saddles, so that the feeling between the horse and the rider, it's very close. They really feel the horse, and it really forces them to sit differently, use muscle groups that perhaps they aren't able to otherwise, and the natural movement of the horse, in addition to helping the muscle buildup, is also very soothing. Plus, for children, for example, who have been diagnosed with autism, it's a really tremendous thing because they have to focus. You know, when you have a 5-year-old who is sitting on a 1,200-pound horse, it's pretty empowering, mm-hmm. and at the same time, they need to pay attention, and they know that. Obviously, safety is our primary concern, so we have great volunteers who help lead and sidewalk, and, you know, every person who rides with us is evaluated before they get on the horse, so we know exactly what their needs are, whether they have special issues like seizures or medications that can affect their balance. So we work with them before they even get on a horse to determine how we can best help them.
And in your experience, how effective have you found it to be?
Tremendously effective. And obviously people who are amputees or who have MS or who have even emotional issues where there's depression or substance abuse, we found that helps tremendously. And then obviously now with autism, we have discovered, and that's been something that's been proven for quite some time now, that it's a tremendously effective tool for children, particularly who suffer from autism. It forces concentration and focus. Plus, it's one of the few therapies that so many of these people have, you know, a lot of therapies they have to go through. And this one is also fun. It's empowering, it's fun. And one of the other things that works tremendously well is the people get an emotional bond to the horse. And sometimes when you have people with special needs, there is a challenge in forming relationships and bonds and socialization, and the horse also helps tremendously with that.
Are there instances where someone comes to you and they just can't seem to get their friend, their loved one in a better state, and this has turned out to be the best way to help them out with the Therapeutic Riding Center?
It really has helped tremendously, and we've had a couple of instances where we've had a young lady, for example, who's just 11, and she's just started speaking for the first time, and one of her first words was horsey. You know, so that is a tremendous sign for the parents, and it shows an involvement on the part of that particular rider where she hasn't really been that involved in her world before, and she's found something that she really can attach to, and it's made a tremendous difference in the rest of her life. You know, the physical benefits are clear, and then also on the emotional side, plus just the whole experience of being involved is also tremendous. We encourage really the entire experience, so it's not just that somebody comes, puts on a helmet, and gets on a horse and rides. We encourage horse care. We encourage them to be on, you know, we try and make sure that they're on the same horse every time so they really can develop a relationship with the horse. And then we encourage social interaction with our clients. So we often end up, for example, with parents coming earlier, even though their session isn't until 10 o'clock. They may come at 9:30 because they know their particular child, for example, loves to socialize or play with some of the other kids who are there. So that's been a really great benefit that's helped the socialization, which can be a tremendous challenge for some of these children with special needs who are in regular school systems but still have a problem making friends and figuring out, you know, how to behave in certain social settings.
I'm speaking with Elizabeth Echandia. She is the director of Hannah's Horseshoes of Hope, the Therapeutic Riding Center in Dodge City over there in Fannin County and serving North Texas. I'm assuming, of course, this can be very powerful and impactful for those in need. I would assume this is also something that becomes very powerful for the volunteers that witness this firsthand.
Oh, totally. I mean, that's one of the things. You know, we always thank our volunteers because they are just incredible people. And we're so fortunate that we have a number of really young volunteers who work with us as well as adults. So that's been tremendous because they've really fallen in love with everything and have found what a difference it makes to them, you know, because I'm always thanking them. And so often I get a note from a volunteer who says, oh, no, thank you. You know, we've just had such a wonderful experience and enjoyed it so much. And it's, you know, been really great for us. It's also, it really is hard work, because one of the things that we have, of course, is children who are not able to ride independently. So we need someone who is leading the horse in the arena. And the horses are not always going at a very slow, sedate pace. So we've also figured that our volunteers are getting fitter by the minute. So it's been an added benefit for them. It's sort of a weight loss and fitness program that they can participate in.
And a chance for more volunteers to get involved this weekend, correct?
Absolutely. We have a volunteer training session this Saturday starting at 9, and it goes from 9 till 11:30. And you'll find out firsthand what you can do to help Hannah's. And contrary to what a lot of people think, we do not expect volunteers who have horse experience or even who have experience working with people with special needs. We train for all of that. And if you're not familiar with horses or not comfortable with horses, we have plenty of other things that we need volunteers for.
How many volunteers do you currently have?
We currently have a core base of around 50. And I've actually got 38 so far already signed up for this Saturday, which is wonderful. I have a beta club coming from Chisholm ISD over in your neck of the woods in Paris, and then also some high school students from Tombean, plus some Austin College students, and then also some local adults who are coming to go through the volunteer training. So we continually refresh our volunteer base because it is, you know, challenging volunteering, and of course, people come in of the program, then they leave for a while, they have other commitments, they come back. So it's a rotating volunteer base, and we've been very fortunate with the wonderful people we have.
And good to expose a young group of volunteers as well to that.
Absolutely. And we've had, you know, a number of school groups come out just to see what we've done. We've had scouts come out. We've had brownies come out. So, you know, there are a lot of people who've come to see what we do. And then later on in life, as they get a bit older, especially the youngsters, decide that, you know, this is something they'd like to volunteer for. So it's a really great opportunity for everyone.
The process of, well, choosing a horse, I mean, how many horses are there available to these individuals, and how often maybe would they be able to ride them?
Currently we have a herd of 12 horses, and then we have two miniature donkeys who are sort of pasture ornaments and love to be petted and fussed over. So they're a great addition to our team. Our horses vary in age. We have a young horse who's 6, and then our oldest is about 30. So we have a whole range of horses with different abilities, temperaments, sizes, so that we can meet the needs of as many people as possible. Generally, our riders ride once a week, and we currently, or during the winter, we cut back a little bit and ride only on Saturdays. And during the spring, summer, and fall, we ride Monday evenings, Thursday evenings, and Saturdays. So generally, we find that once a week works perfectly for somebody.
And then there is an event coming up the first weekend of December, I believe. It's your Super Saturday half-day camp.
Correct. And that's a camp that really we came up with the idea as a response to caregivers and parents. It's a half-day camp where we do ride. The students all have an opportunity to ride. And the program is set up for children with special needs and their siblings. So it often gives people who perhaps want to check us out and aren't familiar with what we do to come to a half-day camp. And in addition to riding, we do arts and crafts, play games, do a whole bunch of other things. And it's a very fun time for everybody involved. And it often is a great opportunity for the children, particularly with special needs, to show their siblings how wonderful they are at riding and participating and what they know about horses. So it's a real opportunity for them also to show off their knowledge. And then for brand new students, it's a great opportunity for them to get to know what we do and check their comfort level. And perhaps we have a chance at that time, if they are interested, to also evaluate them.
And there's a chance to get more information through your website. That's hannashorseshoesofhope.org, correct?
That is correct.
And I think it's a great service you provide. And I know that so many people are negatively impacted by diseases such as autism, and being able to battle these with therapeutic sessions such as what you provide is a great service to the community. And hopefully those that aren't aware of it now have a better idea and can get involved, whether needing the service themselves or being able to volunteer. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Elizabeth Echandia is the director of Hannah's Horseshoes of Hope, the Therapeutic Riding Center in Dodge City, and they have a volunteer training session Saturday from 9 until 11:30, and then a Super Saturday half-day camp also taking place in a couple of weeks from now. The address is 1553 County Road 2905. That's 1553 County Road 2905 in Dodge City. And the website is hannahshorseshoesofhope.org. Thanks again, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Scott.
When we come back, our Friday feature. Don't go away. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
This is Sherry Gardner. Public radio listeners are lifelong learners, from continuing ed to studying for advanced degrees. If your organization offers these opportunities, consider becoming a program sponsor on KETR. Our listeners could be your learners. Call 903-513-9684 for more information.
Hi, I'm Rick Howard.
And I'm Stan the Man Kratchman,
your host for Big Band Stage Door Canteen, inviting you to join us each week for the finest big band music.
With notable artists such as Benny Goodman, Artie Shaw, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, and much, much more.
So join us for Big Band Stage Door Canteen each Monday night at 11 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's now time for our Friday feature. Not only are we approaching the holiday season, it's the season of giving. But this organization, like many others locally, is dedicated to serving those less fortunate year-round. Cindy Roller has the story.
The Hope House in Cooper might be a tiny 240-square-foot building, but it doesn't lack in hope or love. In this building, those less fortunate can find the nourishment as clients of the Hope House. Volunteers organized by Fred and Tina Overman, former Country grocery store owners, help assist in the program of feeding the community. Tina Overman talks about the work from her very mobile office of a folding table and a laptop set up at the First United Methodist Church.
It's our goal to help those who are less fortunate than our. Because by the grace of God, it could be me sitting out there instead of someone else, you know. And I care about people.
The food pantry, now known as the Hope House, was first started in the garage of J.C. and Zelda Fisher. In August of 2004, it became the ministry of the First United Methodist Church of Cooper, and soon became the ministry of Delta County Community, growing from once a month to four times a month.
It's a very good ministry,
said her husband Fred, as he oversees the continuous restocking of the shelves of the Hope House. Every Monday, he and a small group of men travel to the North Texas Food Bank in Sulphur Springs, using their own vehicles, gas, and time to pick up the groceries ordered. The North Texas Food Bank was originated in 1982 by Mrs. Minyard of the Minyard Food Stores and three other caring ladies. It now serves 13 counties of North Texas. Groceries are donated or bought through grants from foundations. The Hope House and its volunteers pay a surcharge of 14 cents or 28 cents a pound for shared maintenance fee. Each Wednesday, from 9 a.m. until noon, these volunteers service the qualifying clients out of the Hope House in Cooper, located on Dallas Avenue.
We just kind of take whatever the food bank offers to us, plus we get a lot of stuff from volunteers,
said Fred. These volunteers have endured the 106-degree Texas heat, stacking heavy cases of canned goods in a trailer to bring back to the Hope House. Just over a year ago, the Overmans joined the effort when there were just 24 families a week. Now, with today's economy, there are 38 families a week. That's 142 people.
Every week I'm getting 2 to 5 new families needing help. Economy's hitting everybody really hard,
said Tina. The program isn't without its regulations. There are limited funds, and they are only allowed to provide goods to each qualifying person once a month.
We're real strict on that. Mm-hmm. We have to be, because if we let it slide and let things get out, it doesn't look good for us, and the people who donate to us, they're not getting their money's worth. Mm-hmm. They've got to be honest, and we've got to be honest. It's mm-hmm. a two-way street, you know.
Tina said it's their goal for these people to be able to shop for themselves so they can retain their own personal worth. According to the volunteers, the most popular item is jelly, because it's a special treat. The Hope House cycles through lots of things, like cereal, spaghetti, juices, canned vegetables, cooking goods, and frozen meats like turkey and beef. The charity doesn't end at the dinner table. The Hope House is even operated out of a donated building. Many area churches, clubs, individuals, businesses, and school classes donate goods and contribute finances.
15 pounds of food will feed 4 people for 4 days. and 26 pounds will feed four people for 7 days. So that's what we operate on. And basically, we give them 4 days of food a month.
The Hope House is always welcoming volunteers and donations. Their future goal is to be able to provide clients with larger facility to supply clothing and counseling. They are also hoping to offer a community garden for fresh fruits and vegetables. They are hoping to raise awareness and gain financial support to make it happen.
We really care about these people. We want to help them.
Explained Tina. That's why they do it. I'm Cindy Roller for the Cooper Review and KETR News.
Thanks, Cindy. Our Friday feature airs each Friday during the lead at 10 a.m. and again at 4:45 p.m. during All Things Considered here on your station. And remember, if you have a Friday feature story idea for the program, we'd love to hear from you. Please let us know by sending your ideas to scott@ketr.org. That's scott@ketr.org. Let's take a break. We're back to wrap things up after this on your station, 88.9 KETR.
This is Renee Montaigne. While you've been sleeping, the Morning Edition team has been busy asking the questions you want answers to and finding out the latest on the news that affects your life. So when you wake up, ready to feed your curiosity, Morning Edition will help you start your day right. Tune in weekdays. It's breakfast for your brain. Weekdays at 5 a.m. on listener-supported 88.9 KETR.
Bluegrass music that can please the ears, magnify the emotions, and penetrate the soul to stir within us our deepest being. And which, served up in tiny packets by A&M Commerce's own Railroad Bill, satisfies the never-ending longing for vocal clarity, instrumental virtuosity, and a lasting warm fuzziness. And on Sundays from 7 till 10, you're riding on the Bluegrass Special.
I'd like to invite you to hear Latin jazz, Latin soul and boogaloo, bossa nova, flamenco, and other music styles.
Párvula boca, que siento tan niña.
I'm David Herbaz, host of Latin Soul. Come join me Tuesday nights at 9 on your station, 889 KETR.
Thanks for being with us today on The Lead, and welcome back. Let's now run down the community events calendar for Northeast Texas. Ladonia Trade Days begins Saturday from downtown Ladonia at 7:30 a.m. The event runs until 6 p.m. that evening. The Commerce Parks Foundation will be hosting their second skate competition and fundraiser Saturday from City Park and Commerce to benefit the city's skate park project. The event runs from 12 noon until 5 p.m. In Greenville on Saturday morning, a free recycling event. Residents can dispose of old computers, TVs, and ink cartridges and stay protected from identity theft in the process. Items can be taken to the Fletcher Warren Civic Center between 9 a.m. and noon Saturday. And Grin and Barrett, who you hear monthly on KETR, is holding a concert with Rebecca Chastain and Nate Compton Saturday in Greenville. It's over at Stonewall Street Music Hall and begins at 7 p.m. The event will benefit the Hunt County Red Cross chapter. A reminder that each one of these events and others can be found at our website, ketr.org/events, and we strongly encourage you post your own event on our website, and we can read it on the air. That's going to do it for today's installment of The Lead. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Lisbeth Echandia of Hannah's Horseshoes of Hope. You can learn more about this weekend's volunteer training session and next month's Super Saturday event at hannashorseshoesofhope.org. We also heard from Cindy Roller and her feature on the Hope House in Cooper, which, with the help of volunteers and donations to the North Texas Food Bank, provides groceries now to 38 local families a week. We'll be back same time next Friday at 10 a.m., and our show re-airs at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Remember, you can hear archives of this show as well on our website. That's ketr.org. Coming up next is Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend.